Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone this morning. How many thank God for His goodness? We want to appreciate all the worship, appreciate that wonderful testimony. Thank God for our kids coming up here and singing for us. We love them and thank God for them. And we especially thank God for you today that are here. We pray the Lord will bless your heart, minister to your life on the things that will be said and done here today. I pray that you would open up your life, be receptive to the Word, and respond to the Word. Make a decision to respond to the Word. Well, last night I was talking about two roads. We were talking about this Galatians 5 again and looking at how important that is to begin to walk in the Spirit. And so that's what we're going to deal with this morning. We're going to deal with walking in the Spirit. Last night we was finishing up that part on liberty. He said, you're a free person. Remember, Paul said, very important. He said, don't use liberty, being free. We have liberty, and there's no doubt about it. When you come to serve God, you have liberty. But he said, don't use it as an occasion to the flesh. He gives an anchor statement. He knew people would run with that. And so I'm at liberty to do what I want. I can worship how I want, sing what I want, do whatever I want. It's no big deal. It's a big deal to God. He wants us to do it a certain way. He said to the people... He said, don't worship me in their way. So there's a way that you might have a tendency to worship me, but he said, I won't receive that worship. So we know that God has a way that he desires to be worshiped. And so again, we'll be in Galatians 5 again. We're dealing in this series, understanding Galatians in light of the Torah. Understanding the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Not only the Torah, the Tanakh is the remaining books there, the prophets, major, minor prophets. Also dealing with the Psalms and the writings. So the entire Old Testament is valuable to the believer. I believe the whole Bible is true. I believe it's relevant for the believer. The whole Bible, not some of it, the whole thing. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I remember I got saved on the New Testament. Well, that's because you can. You can get saved on the New Testament. But can you stay saved? Can you last through the temptation? Well, you're going to have to read the entire Bible. You read it, you study it out, you find out what it'll do for you, what it wants to, what God said he wants, his plan and purpose for your life, and it becomes real to you. That's the whole point in this. I've been doing this for a long time, and I look at the scripture like I'm just starting. I'm like, this stuff's amazing. It's not like something you get tired of. You think after a while. How many's got a book, a favorite book? Not the Bible, but any book. You bought a book and you like this book. Anybody? Anybody's ever bought a book and you read this book? Well, you read it and maybe you read it again after a few years. And then you say to somebody, you might say, man, I read that book 5 times. It's a pretty interesting book. But eventually in life, you kind of move away from that book and you know all about it. You can read it again, but you know everything about it. The Bible is not so. You can't just read it and walk away from it. You read it and you read it more and you read it more and you read it more. And it's absolutely amazing. So that's how I feel. I feel like, man, I just found this book. It's incredible. The wonderful principles that are in there. So my prayer today, and I said this will probably be the most important series I've ever done in the years that I've been pastoring in 30 plus years. This series in Galatians is very important. I said that the day one when I started. I said this series is going to be the most important series I've ever done. It's going to be valuable to everyone to listen carefully to it. Now what I'm going to talk about today, we're going to be dealing with walking in the Spirit. In this verse right here, verse 16, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you know, if you want to know what that means, well, to different people, it means different things. To the Pentecostal believer, walking in the Spirit might be speaking in tongues. Might be a manifestation of the Spirit. It manifests, it comes on you, and so you got the Spirit. And they might even say that. Somebody said, man, they got the Spirit. Maybe you've heard that comment. I've heard that comment before. And so, man, they're good. Man, they're doing good. So if you make a reference to walking in the Spirit, say, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. Well, there's a difference between a manifestation of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And I'm going to show you that difference. I'm going to show you the difference that a manifestation could come on anybody. But to walk in the Spirit is going to be a person who's dedicated their lives to the things of God. They're dedicated to it. They're serious about it. They made the right choice. They've gotten off this broad road of anything goes. They got off of being a sand builder. And they dig deep and they find a solid rock. They found a foundation of the Word. And they live their life based on that foundation. And every time you can tell a person who walks in the Spirit. Because when they have a failure in their life, they get back up. They know how to get back up. They know the Scripture's there for them to get back up, dust themselves off, and keep going for God. They know how to fight the good fight of faith. Because it's a fight. And I mean, we might want to kid ourselves. We might, man, I got this thing's easy. There's nothing easy about serving God. Don't kid yourself. Nothing is easy about serving God. It's a fight. But what are you fighting for? Eternal life. That's something that's worth fighting for. A lot of people fight for stuff that doesn't matter. A lot of people want to fight because they want to be right. We want to fight because we want a job that somebody else has got. We want to fight for whatever. It is. And none of that matters. But you're not talking about fighting for just anything. We're talking about eternal life. That's something to fight for. That's really something to fight for. There's people who fight for just living this life. They'll get sick, and they're a fighter. And doctors will tell them, you got 6 months to live, and they'll fight. And they'll say, I'm not giving up. And they'll live 10 more years. They're a fighter. I mean, who's ever said that? Man, they're a fighter. They'll push in there, and they'll figure a way out. They'll clean up their eating habits. They'll do whatever it is. They're going to fight for it. Well, let me tell you something. Serving God is a fight. And he says he makes war with the saints. He wants you to drink the blood of indignation. All these things we read in Revelation, all these things are upon us. And so today I'm going to equip you on what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean when we see what it says here? When he's dealing with walking in the Spirit. And so my prayer is that we grab hold to this and that we'll see these things come to pass, because I believe the Lord, he absolutely wants the best for us. Amen? I mean, you know he wants the best for you. So Galatians 5, let's look at it together. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 16. He says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice that. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many know that the flesh is always going to go opposite of what the Spirit is telling you? They don't flow together. The flesh doesn't all of a sudden come in line and say, I'm going to be okay with this. No, you have to walk in the Spirit. You walk it out. And you walk this out because what happens, this is what happens, you can be serving God for a number of years. You could have had the best service you've ever had in your life. Maybe you have the best encounter you've ever had. You say, man, this is absolutely amazing. I've had this incredible encounter with God. I'm feeling good. And all of a sudden, in your moment that you're feeling the best, the flesh wants to go the opposite way. And you got to decide right then and there what you're going to do. But we're going to look at what does it mean to walk in the Spirit and see these things. I think they'll be a big help to us. So I want you to look at walking in the Spirit. We're going to look at the life of Saul. How many remember Saul? Saul was a man that was head and shoulders above everyone. And the Israel began to complain against God and said, we want somebody to lead us. At that time, God was their king. He was it. Elohim, Yahweh, he's our king. He's it. But we want somebody. So the Lord speaks to Samuel to go and anoint Saul to be king over Israel. And I'm going to show you something about what happened here when this thing transpires. I'm going to read this to you. In 1 Samuel chapter number 10, we're going to begin with verse number 1. And we'll look at something here I think will be helpful to us. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, talking about Saul, and kissed him and said, Is it not because Yahweh had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then shalt thou find two men by Rachel supplicant, the borders of Benjamin, at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the donkey which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father had left the care of the donkeys and sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Now I want you to notice that we're getting to this part where all of a sudden Saul has a manifestation of the Spirit come on his life. Then shall thou go and forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to Elohim to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand. And after that, thou shalt come to the hill of Elohim, where is the garrison of the Philistine. And thou shalt come to and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with psaltery and tambourines and pipes and harps before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of Yahweh, how many see that? The Spirit of Yahweh shall come upon thee. Now this is Samuel's prophesying to Saul about what's going to happen. He tells him what the guy's got in the hands and everything. Tells him what they're going to give him. And the Spirit of Yahweh will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned unto another man. Let me see that. That's what he said. Thou shalt be turned into another man. Verse 7. And let it be, when these signs are coming to thee, thou shalt do as occasion served thee, for Elohim is with thee. Speaking of Saul. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee and offer burnt offerings and sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. In verse 9, he said, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, Elohim gave him another heart. He did what? Elohim gave him another heart. Very important. And all those signs came to pass that day. Let me see that. All those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of Elohim came upon him. This is Saul. We're talking about Saul. The Spirit of Elohim came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Everybody say manifestation. That's a manifestation of the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with manifestations of the Spirit, but it's not walking in the Spirit. He had a manifestation of the Spirit. And we want to look at what happened next. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? Because he's prophesying. So here's the king, and now he's prophesying. Something's going on. And one of the same places answered and said, but who is this? Who is their father? Therefore, it became a proverb, is Saul among the prophets? Verse 13, and when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to a high place. So I want you to understand that Saul's life, when the Spirit of God came on him, and the Spirit of God gave him a different heart, he prophesied, he did things that on all accounts looked like he was walking in the Spirit. But it's a manifestation of the Spirit. I want you to keep that in mind. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. And Saul said, bring me hither a burnt offering, verse 9, and offer to me a peace offering, and offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Now he was told to wait for Samuel, the prophet Samuel. He said, you wait until I get there. He said, I'll come and do the service of the Lord, but you wait. You the king. I'm the prophet. You wait. Now watch what he said. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto Yahweh. I forced myself, therefore, to offer a burnt offering. Notice that. I forced myself to offer a burnt offering, which he was not allowed to do. But he's trying to force himself into a position that he doesn't belong in. Now, if he'd have been walking in the Spirit, he wouldn't have done that. There's a difference between a manifestation of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. See, I can come in here and manifest the Spirit, and you think I'm walking in the Spirit because I prophesied. What's going to give you an indication if I walk in the Spirit is when I'm up against it and I still maintain the relationship that I profess to have. Hello? Think about that. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. And I'm going to highlight this because it's important. He said, thou hast not kept the commandments of Yahweh, thy Elohim. What did he do? He didn't keep the commandments of Yahweh, his Elohim, the Lord your God. You didn't keep his commandments. You did not keep his commandments. Think about that. He knew the commandments. He knew that that wasn't his position. But that's the difference between a manifestation and walking in the Spirit. What did Paul say? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh wants to do it. But if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to say to the flesh, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You can't go there. You can't behave that way. You can't speak that way. That's walking in the Spirit. We got to learn these things. You don't get saved and you know all this. We learning. I mean, you come here to learn today. I'm here to learn. I want to learn something today. When I open the Bible and I start studying, I always tell the Lord, I say, Lord, I want to learn something. I'm missing something. Because let me tell you, the fight is real. There's no joke. Your flesh lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It's an equal battle. Especially if you have any love for God, there's a battle going on. Because Paul said this, when I want to do right, evil's present. Therefore, what I should do, I don't do. When you start understanding those things, it gives you the upper hand because now you know how to fight those battles. But if you don't know what's going on, the first thing you're going to do is, what's wrong with me? I don't know. I tried this thing. I just can't make it. And that's how folks give up. They don't know the battle that's going on the inside of them. Well, this is what he said. He wasn't walking in the Spirit because he didn't keep the commandments of the Lord, his God, which he commanded thee, for now would Yahweh have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. He said, you were it. God's plan for your life was to establish you as a king forever, but you did not know how to walk in the Spirit. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. But now, what he means, but now? Because now that you stepped out of walking by the flesh, how do you prevent that? You who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's a war going on there, and that's how we got to learn to walk in the Spirit. Yahweh had sought him a man after his own heart. What was Yahweh seeking for? A man after his own heart. And Yahweh had commanded him to be captain over his people because thou hast not kept that which Yahweh commanded thee. Not kept. So let's see what happens to Saul in the end. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, so Saul died in his transgressions which he committed against Yahweh. He did what? He died. Think about that. He died in his transgressions, which he committed against Yahweh. Excuse me. Think about that. He died in his transgressions, which he committed against Yahweh, even against the word of Yahweh. So he didn't just commit them against the person of Yahweh. He committed them against the word of Yahweh. Oh, my. How many see this? He committed them against the word of Yahweh. Very important. He committed this against the word of Yahweh, his commandments, which he kept not. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. That's what it leads to. If you want to know where this leads, if you want to know what up and down, can't make your mind up, wishy-washiness and serving God, I'm in, I'm out, this a little bit won't hurt. I saw you was a little delayed, so I'm going to go ahead and make supplication. I didn't know if you was coming or not, so I went and took upon myself, and I disobeyed God, but I was fearing because you didn't show up. You're going to seek out a different spirit, and the spirit's going to answer you. And when you seek out a different spirit, let me tell you something. That's not walking in the spirit. He sought a spirit of Endor, and he got himself in trouble. He sought counsel from a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And inquired not of Yahweh. He didn't inquire of Yahweh. Therefore, he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. He did what? He slew him. He slew him. How many see that? Here's what happened. When the Philistines came and they all said, you know, we're gonna overtake them. Saul and his sons were all killed. And this is how it happened. Once he saw that his sons were dead, and the servant saw that they were dead, he took his sword and he fell on it. And he died on the battlefield, lost and undone with God. And he was the man. He was the one that God said, I will give you the kingdom forever. Can you imagine that? That's what God, I'm going to give you the kingdom. I saw the man after my own heart that I can give the kingdom forever. And this is what you did. You can blow your blessing. You can live beneath the gift and the calling that God has for your life. It's up to you. You got to make some right decisions and right choices. Let me go take you to Acts, a very important passage here. Acts 13, in verse 21, it says, and afterward they desired a king, and Elohim gave them Saul, the son of Sith, and a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. How long did he have to get this done? 40 years. You figure after 40 years, you figure something out, wouldn't you? That's a long time. He gave him this man for 40 years, and when he had removed him, notice that, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Is this helping anybody? What was he seeking in Saul? A man after his own heart. It didn't change the plan. Let me tell you, you can be in the plan or out of the plan. It doesn't change God's plan. Because God's going to find his man somewhere. How many understand that? You think for a moment that any of us can hold God hostage for what he's going to bring about to pass? We can't hold God hostage. Listen, if I set this down and I walk out them doors and I say, forget church, God will raise his man up and he'll still get done what he said he would do with me or without me. It doesn't matter to God. I got to learn how to walk in the spirit because he's going to get his job done. Did he change the plan? Did God change his? No, he said, I found me a man after my own heart, David. Now, did Saul have an opportunity to be that person? Well, he actually did. When you read the text, it says, you were the man after my own heart. You were him. But because you sought others, Because you prostituted yourself. I know that's a hard word for a Sunday morning. You sold yourself to another spirit. Let me tell you, this stuff is this is ravishing the church world today. It's terrible how terrible it is that they'll seek another spirit and they won't seek the spirit of Elohim. It's terrible. He says, I found this one. Now I want you to notice this verse 23 is key, very key. Of this man's seed had Elohim, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Yeshua. This is where he comes on the scene. See, this is what it's all about. We need a Savior. We're not going to make it without a Savior. We need one. He knows that the world is in trouble. And I got to get them a Savior. And I'm going to do everything I can to get them a Savior. Saul didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. He had a manifestation of the Spirit, but didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. Therefore, he was rejected from God. How many of you see that walking in the Spirit is not an option? How many see that today? It's not an option. This is the demand on our life. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what he's telling the Gentile believers. Gentile believers, he's telling this to. Why is he not telling this to Israel? Israel ought to know better already. They're the ones who experienced these things. They've seen them firsthand. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me just go a little bit further. Let me tell you about David here for a little bit. Let's look at him. He was humble. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'll just put it up there for you. He was humble. He was reverent. He was respectful. This is what happened. Because let me tell you, David wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. David wasn't perfect. He had some things going on in his life. But let me just show you. He was trusting. Psalm 27:1, loving. Psalms 18:1, all of these scriptures there. He was devoted. He was devoted. He says, for you have filled my heart with great joy, greater joy than when their grain and new wine abounded. He says, one thing you got to be, it's hard to be devoted. Because when things are going good, your devotion goes to what's going good. When things aren't going so good, we go to God. We're devoted to God when it's, because let me tell you, when it's not going the way you want it, we pray more. We'll go to God and we'll pray with everything that's in it. When it's going good, we don't pray as much. He said, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to be devoted to you. When I have a lot, I'm going to be devoted. When I don't have nothing, I'm still going to be devoted. He was devoted. Very important. He had recognition. He was faithful. He was obedient. I wish I had time to just stop on each one of these, but I just put them there for your benefit. You can go over these. Recognition. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Think about that. Faithful. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. Faithful. Obedient. Give me understanding. I will keep your laws and obey it with all my heart. This is David. But my favorite one. My favorite one. All time favorite. The reason I know David was a man who walked in the Spirit, because in the face of a tragedy, in the face of a cruelty, you just want to hide your face from the wrong that this man committed. He got up on a rooftop and he saw another man's wife. And he looked at Bathsheba and he said, man, I want that woman. He was the king. And he figured a way out to get her. He got that woman in his bedchamber. And he laid with that woman. Got that woman pregnant. That's pretty bad. We're talking about the man after God's own heart. I don't think he's walking in the Spirit right there. I mean, no, that's not walking in the Spirit. And then he has the husband of that woman come out of the battlefield and gets him drunk, tries to make him go in and lay with his wife so he can blame the child born to him. But that man's so devoted to his king, and his men, he said, I couldn't bear the thought of going in there and lay with my wife while my men are out on the battlefield. What integrity that guy had. So he just says, well, Well, take this little note and give it to your captain, and we'll be good. And in that note, he carried his own death sentence. His own death. He's loyal. He didn't peek. He didn't say, "Oh, let me see what the king's saying." He was loyal. He handed his death sentence over to the captain, and the captain unrolled and said, "Take Uriah, this guy right here, and put him on the front line, so he'll be killed." And that's what happened. It didn't get. It was getting worse and worse, snowballing. Then the prophet Nathan comes along and says, "King, I got to talk to you. We got to have a conversation here, and you're not going to like this." They had this man, and he had this one ewe lamb, just one lamb. And he groomed this lamb, he took care of this lamb, he did everything he could to make sure that this was his prized possession, that's all he had. Then there's this neighbor who has abundance of flock. He has thousands of lamb, he has a cow, he got everything he wants. And there are going to be some visitors come and visit this rich man. And they're going to come and he's going to prepare for them. And he goes out and he looks at all of his flock, everything he's got, and he sees that one little lamb in the fence over there. And he says, "Well, I tell you what, I'm going to take that lamb and kill that lamb and fix that for my guest." He said, "What you think about a man does something like that, King?" David said, "Ah!" He gets up off of his throne. He said, "Man, that's terrible. Who is this guy? What's his name? He got to pay fourfold back to this man. Why would he take his only..." Nathan takes two steps back and he says, "You him. You're the man that did that." Oh boy. That's when it gets quiet in church. The amen quit. But let me tell you, my favorite about David being a man who walks in the Spirit is this one. Repentant. This ought to help you today. This ought to help us all today. Because I can tell you, we've all had some stuff that we're not proud of. But a man who walks in the Spirit, he figures that out. And he realizes it's not right for me or nobody else. But right now, we're talking about me. That's what David did. Listen to what he said in Psalm 25:11. "For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great." What a statement. What a statement. This is David. That's walking in the Spirit right there. That's when it looks terrible. That's after the prophet rebuked you, and you know you're the man. You got caught. You're done. You're finished. You're in trouble. And what does he do? He repents. He says, "I can't believe. My sins are great, but I'm asking you to forgive me." That's a person who walks in the Spirit. Psalms 51. Should we go there? Could we go there and read it? Could we go there and read Psalms 51, how important it is, how valuable it is to look at Psalms 51. He says this, "Have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I have acknowledged my transgression." I have acknowledged them. Don't blame somebody. Listen, let me tell you, one of the biggest problems with a person quickly eliminating himself to a person who walks in the Spirit, you don't mind going to God and repent as long as you can bring the crowd with you. You want others. "I'll repent when they repent." That ain't repentance. That's not repentance. That's so you don't have the whole embarrassment on you. But that's what repentance is supposed to make you feel like, embarrassed. "I've sinned." Notice that. Notice what he said. "My transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge that my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Notice that he's saying mine, it's mine. He owns it. Let me tell you, one of the things about walking in the Spirit, you got to own when you do wrong. When you do wrong, just own it. It's so simple. Let me tell you, you want to walk out this place liberated and feeling good about yourself, own whatever it is that you, and say, God, I give it to you. That's a person who walks in the Spirit. Or you can have your manifestation and make everybody think you did it. That's what the church did, especially the Pentecostal church. They just get up here and speak in tongues and they walk home, man, ooh, we had a good service, huh? But you didn't clean nothing up. You had a manifestation, but you didn't change anything. And how many times we've seen that? Over and over and over and over again. We went to all the meetings, we went to all the revivals, and everybody's getting up there, and they're having manifestation after manifestation, but nobody is walking in repentance. Isn't that something? It's a terrible thing. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, against thee, look at verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Notice that. Everything you're saying, God, is what was right. What the prophet said, it was right. It's me. Oh, you're seeing this. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth, and in my inward parts and in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with the hyssops, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and be glad, that my bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltness, O Elohim, thou Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Yahweh, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings and sacrifice. The sacrifice of Elohim, or what? A broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O Elohim, thou wilt not despise. Are you hearing all this? Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. What a prayer. I said, what a prayer. He did wrong. And he had to pray. And he didn't, he was repentant. Very important. So I'm trying to show you today, there's a difference between a manifestation and walking in the Spirit. David walked in the Spirit. David was considered a man after God's own heart. David committed a terrible transgression. It was absolutely terrible. How could God use a man like that? Because he was willing to repent. Can you see how important repentance is? Can you say, and let me tell you, maybe you're here and you say, you know, I messed up a few times. That's fine. Learn to walk in the Spirit. It's a fight. It's what it is. It's a fight. It's not you go to church and everything's just going to go wonderful. Really? I don't know who told you that, but they don't know what they're talking about. You go to church and make an effort to be serious with God, and things are going to get squirrely on you. Your finances might be good. Everything might be good. Your job might be good. But deep on the inside, you're still having trouble with what your eyes see, what your ears hear, what your mouth says. You're still struggling with that. That's okay. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many see that? I'm giving you some answers here today. I'm giving you answers that way when you're struggling with these things and these temptations, you have an answer. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Today, Lord, I'm going to choose to walk in the Spirit. Very important. Because it's going to be a conscious effort that you make. Anytime from here on out, from today on, anytime you decide to not walk in the Spirit, it'll be a conscious effort that you had to decide that I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go the opposite way. And you're going to know it. You're going to hear these words ring over and over and over in your ears, and you're going to make a conscious effort to do the opposite. So this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's look at another one. Walking in the Spirit, the life of Balaam. Balaam is very important character in the Scripture. He was the one that Balak says, "Why don't you come and curse Israel for me?" I mean, remember the story of Balaam. Curse Israel for me. We got to get, you know, we want our enemy subdued and all these things. So you come and put a curse on him. He was a prophet. Well, what kind of prophet? Well, there's a lot of different theories about what type of prophet he was. I don't like to work on theories. I just go to the Scripture. I'm not a theorist. I don't like to work on theories. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says about it. And then, therefore, it's not a theory anymore. Right? It's what it says. Well, let's see what it says. In Numbers 23, verse number 5, and Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth. Who? Yahweh. Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak and thou shalt speak." And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from around, out of the mountain of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. How shall I curse whom El hath not cursed?" Balaam said, I don't know what you want from me, but I don't know how you curse whom El hath not cursed. Or how shall you defy whom Yahweh had not defied? Let me see that. Very important. Numbers 23, verse 16. Let's look at it. And Yahweh met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Go again to Balak and say thus." And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the prince of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, "What had Yahweh spoken?" And he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. El is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Hallelujah. Verse 20, "Behold, I have received commandments to bless. I have received commandments to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it." Listen to Balaam. I can't reverse it. What's happening? He's having a manifestation of the Spirit. Somebody help. He's having a manifestation of the Spirit. It's a gift, and it's manifesting on Balaam's life. That's what he's having. Not walking in the Spirit. I'm going to prove that in a little bit. How many see the difference already? Numbers 24, verse number 1. "And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek an enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tent and according to their tribes, and the spirit of Elohim came upon him." The spirit of Elohim came upon Balaam. Manifestation. Manifestation. How many thank God for manifestations? Amen. Verse 15, skip down. "And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open had said, and he had said, which heard the words of El and knew the knowledge of the Most High." He knew the knowledge. "Which saw the vision of the Almighty fallen into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob." I don't know if you noticed, but this is Balaam. prophesying about who? Yeshua. Let me read it again. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Seth. So I want you to see, again, a manifestation. God can, there can be a manifestation of the Spirit come on your life. But that don't mean you walk in the Spirit. Now, can you have a manifestation and walk in the Spirit? Well, probably they go hand in hand. That's usually what happens when you walk in the Spirit. You get manifestations of the Spirit. But you can have a manifestation and not walk in the Spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? Well, let's go on and see what 1 Peter said. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 20. Verse number 1, we'll go through 21 verses. I'm hoping I can skim real fast through here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Yeshua Messiah. Just talking about Christ here. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of Elohim and our Savior Yeshua Messiah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you and through the knowledge of Yeshua and of Yeshua our Master. Notice these things, how he's wording this. Very important. According as his majestic power had given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and holiness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I mean, thank you for that. That by these ye might be partakers of the majestic nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience holiness, and to holiness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. He's going on in these, for these things being you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Master Yeshua Messiah. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. How many see that? Verse 10, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, he's speaking of his death, even as our Master Yeshua has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning, devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from Yahweh the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain, speaking of transfiguration. And when we, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but by holy men of Elohim as they spake, as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what? It was moved by the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand, they spake these things because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How many see that? There were prophecies that came, and Balaam was one who prophesied. And what happened? The Spirit of God came on Balaam, and he prophesied a scepter, a star, all of these things prophesying of Yeshua that he would come. Now, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1. 2, verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I want you to notice that this right here, I'm going to revisit this from time to time. I'm going to reference this particular passage because of the importance of it. There are false prophets. There's people who prophesy anything in today's society. They'll say anything. And if you're not well-versed in the text, if you don't know what the Scripture says, you're going to just say, well, man, they're a man of God. They're prophesying. They're the preacher. If they're the preacher, they got to be right. Just because we're the preacher don't mean we got to be right. How many understand that? The question is, do we walk in the Spirit? Do we walk in the Spirit? That's important. Valuable to understand these principles and grab hold to what he's saying. He said, many shall follow their pernicious ways, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And these are important principles that we look at. We have to see them. We have to see them. If we do, it'll change everything about us. Now, I want you to notice, he said, For through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Through covetousness. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their condemnation slumbereth not. For if Elohim spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down into Taurus. He's speaking of Noah here. And sons of God came and took the daughters of men. He said, if he spared not the angels that did sin, they sinned against God. He didn't spare them. He put them into Taurus in the most inner dungeon, the abyss, in chains, prepared for judgment. And delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Notice that. And spare not the old world, but save Noah and eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the wicked. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes to condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live sinfully. So how many see all of this? And delivered Lot, just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. He was vexed with it, because it's all they did when he delivered Lot. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was involved. He was right in the midst of all this corruption. Vexed in his soul. That's what the Scripture says. Yahweh knows how to deliver the pious out of the temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. I mean, see that. He knows. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Notice what he says. But chiefly them that do what? Walk after the flesh. This is important. Of uncleanness, despise government. Presumptuous, they are self-willed. They are not afraid to speak of evil of dignities. Not afraid. Verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before Yahweh. For these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Notice this. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. I'm telling you, this gets down in it. I'm not going to take the time to get in it, but I will. I'm going to come back and revisit this. I'm letting you know right now so we can see this. So it becomes a part of us. having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart. They have exercised with covetousness, practicing and cursed children. Now watch this one verse. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the ways of Balaam. Notice that. Following the ways of Balaam. Do we have to be careful in that? That we don't follow the ways of Balaam. That's what he says. Following the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. He had a manifestation, but he didn't walk in the Spirit. He chose not to walk in the Spirit. And very important. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Remember that whole story of Balaam. They forbade them out. And so my whole point in reading this is that you see this. Then he tells us what it is. Wells without water. What's a well without water? They get up and have a position, but they have nothing to give you. Nothing. They're wells without water. They speak a lot, do a lot. They parade around in an entourage, but they're wells without water. You're going to, listen, if you follow these ways, you will die of thirst. You have a spiritual thirst. You cannot get no water from these wells that have none. That's what he's telling us. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried away with a tempest. You go outside, and down here we don't have that problem, but in other places they go outside and says, man, it looks like it's going to rain. It never rains. Down here, if it looks like it's going to rain, you better get you a raincoat. Or get inside an umbrella or something, because if it looks like it, it's going to happen. But in some places, the sky will get dark. It'll get to rumbling, and all of a sudden, it just dissipates. There's not enough energy. It can't organize. It starts out, but it doesn't last. This is what he says. He said, these are like clouds who drives away with the tempest. They can't have nothing to offer you. Is this helping anybody? What are we talking about? People who don't walk in the Spirit. They have manifestations, but don't walk in the Spirit. God's looking for a person who will have a manifestation and walk in the Spirit and let them work hand in hand. Very important. But more important than the manifestation. Manifestations are very powerful because they give you the ability to prophesy, just like Balaam prophesied that Messiah would come. This is Balaam. But now he's rebuking Balaam because of what he did. He said, these people are those that you have to be careful in. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. They do what? Allure through the lust of the flesh. Notice that. What is he telling us to? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, so if somebody gets on the television, these television evangelists, they call them. They get on the television and say, listen, you're going to have to send me $1,000. You know what that is? That's a well without water. Because the only way God's going to bless you is if you bless me. And if you don't get a C, you won't give God nothing to work with. You got to get a seed in the ground. And I'm the ground. And you got to get your seed in me. Now you got God something to work with. He can work with your seed. That's a cloud that's driven away with the tempest. Be careful. Because you give a seed, and then all of a sudden, you going around saying, man, I don't know what it is. I've been sowing seed all my life. And you got this clown driving a Lear jet. Pull up at the church in a Rolls Royce. Oh, yeah. I can't give it enough time today, but I'm going to give it some time. One of these services, I'm just going to lay it all out for you. I'm just going to touch on it today. Every now and then, I like to just touch it a little bit. That's clowns that are entertaining the goats. We got to be careful. So he says, this is what's going to happen. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they do what? Promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They promise liberty, but they themselves are servants of... Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So we got to be careful. Not everything that says they're from God is from God. And we better be careful. Let me just finish this up and we're going to find a place to stop right here. For it had not it been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her swallowing in the mire. So if you want a comparison, if you want to see what God, how he compares it, he said, I can't believe that this will go on. In today's society, you go on YouTube, you go on the internet, you go on the TV or whatever, if you look at it, and it's crazy what's happening in the church world today. It's absolute crazy. Start out, manifestation. Looks good. It's great. Words of truth come out of people's mouth. It happens. And then a little bit down the road, they won't walk in the Spirit because they'll break the commandments of Yahweh. Walking in the Spirit is keeping the law of God. It's hungry to keep that law. It's wanting to do what God asks you to do. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is when you get knocked flat on your face. Flat. I mean, you had one of them weeks where it hit you. If everything could have went wrong, it went wrong that day. And you know what you did? You got back up. You got up. You dust yourself off. And you still kept going. That's walking in the Spirit. There was no manifestation that day. Nothing was manifest. You didn't feel no Holy Spirit that day. It was terrible. But you got up. You knew what God's Word said. You knew what it said. And you knew, you believed what it said. And you were going to do what it said. That's walking in the Spirit. Because there are going to be times that you're not going to feel anything, but you know He's there. You have to trust Him. You have to have faith in Him. You have to realize that God is faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to you. And so I pray that we can see this. My prayer is that we can see how God's trying to shape us. He takes the life of Balaam. Think about his life. You think about all the things that were said and done on Balaam and what happened in his life. It's craziness. It's absolutely craziness. How much time I have left, Phil? How much? Man, I'm slipping here. I'm about to let y'all go 15 minutes early. I probably figured that. Y'all on the same page. All right, well, I think I'm going to let y'all go. I think if you want to know if I'm got any more slides, well, I got plenty more. I got plenty more, but I'm going to stop here because I'm going to finish Balaam. And the reason I want to do it, I'm going to probably back up. I'm going to back up. I'm going to deal with this whole situation coming up next service. I'm going to deal with that because I think it's important that we see that, okay? That we look at it and clearly understand that. So I will probably get really deep into this a little bit. I'm not going to be able to do it this morning, but I'll get a little deeper in this and explain to some of these things that'll help us. But today, for right now, I think we got enough out there that'll show you what you can start thinking about it anyway. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What's the difference between a manifestation of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Can I do both of them? And how is it that you can have one without the other? Saul proved that you can have that one without the other. He prophesied, yet he didn't walk in the Spirit. Balaam prophesied, yet didn't walk in the Spirit. At the end of Balaam's life, he was killed with a sword. The children of Israel killed Balaam with a sword. The prophet, they slew him with a sword. Saul's life, killed with a sword. Why? Don't know how to walk in the Spirit. So that's what God wants for you. And anybody here today, if you want to know how to walk in the Spirit, you can know that. Walking in the Spirit is keeping the commandments of God. It's loving the commandments of God. It's loving Torah. Fall in love with it. Let it become a part of who you are. Every day. Every day. You're not going to take today and say, well, today I'm going to do everything I can and get ready for tomorrow. Take today. Don't worry about tomorrow. It may never come. We're not promised that. But we got today, right now. Right now, today, what I do counts. And what you do today can help you tomorrow. There ain't no doubt about it. But you got to do something now. You got to make a decision today to say, you know what, I want to serve God with I want to serve Him with everything. I want to live for Him with everything I am. Make that commitment to the Lord and watch God do amazing stuff in your life. Let's stand together. Does anybody here need prayer for anything? Anybody here need prayer for anything? All right, well, we're going to go to the Lord.